This morning we read the words of our text in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We shall concentrate this morning on just some of the words in that verse, particularly in the heart of the verse there, Galatians 2:20, Christ liveth in me. Paul visited Galatia, which was a Roman province, on his first missionary journey, somewhere around the years AD 48-49. And the blessing of God was with him in that visit. Many listening to his message came to faith and professed the same. And a number of churches were established in that whole region. You may know that soon after Paul's visit there, false teaching arose, teaching which said that, contrary to what Paul had taught, faith was not enough. In order to be saved, yes, faith was important, but so were the ceremonies of Judaism. And a man could not be saved unless he believed and sought to keep what we call the ceremonial law, particularly the law of circumcision. The apostle saw this as a real threat to everything he had preached and everything he'd done in that area, and he wrote to them soon after the missionary journey was completed, and in this epistle he restates and he defends the gospel of salvation by faith alone, through Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. And this verse, which we have as a text, is a key verse in that it sets forth the true apostolic gospel which Paul preached among them. And we might observe that it emphasizes three great truths. First of all, Christ, those words beginning the verse, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. The second heading for us this morning is faith. I live, he says, in the latter part of the verse, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And the third word to bring to your attention is life. Christ liveth in me. At the end of the verse, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now I want particularly to concentrate upon those words, Christ liveth in me. That we shall understand them as we look at the whole verse and seek to arrive at a true meaning of those words. The first heading then is Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Now, what does he mean by that? It's a rather strange, as we read it, how does he understand that? How can I be in any sense crucified with Christ? I wasn't at Calvary. I wasn't at the cross. So what does he mean? Well, he means that it was as our representative and as our substitute that Christ endured the pain of the cross. When he suffered there, he suffered and bled and died in our place as our proxy, so that in him we answered for our sins. In him we paid the penalty which the law required for our sins. In him we rendered full satisfaction to the justice of God for our sins. We were not crucified. He was crucified in our place for our sakes. And therefore, in a very real sense, representing us, we can say, we experience that. We paid for our sins. We've suffered the judgment of God. No, you haven't, the critic may say. But in Jesus Christ, we have. Our sins have been judged in him. And our punishment has been borne in him. He stood for us. He fell for us. He died for us. And therefore, in a very real sense, we can say, I am crucified with Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we were charged with our sins. In him, we faced the penalty for our sins. In him, we experience the pain and the sorrow which our sins merited. In him, we endured the curse of the law. In him, we felt the awful stroke of judgment. Yes, it was one man who died at Calvary, but that man was dying there for us. And therefore, there's a sense in which we were there in our representative, in our substitute, and we've paid for sin. Not personally, but substitutionally in him. It's like someone who's undertaken to pay a debt for us. And the debt was very great and was pretty awful to bear. But this person, in great kindness, goes to the creditor and settles for us. And the next day, someone refers to this in conversation, says, oh, I hear you owe so-and-so a great deal of money. We say, no, I've paid that. I've paid that. The debt is no more. Now, I haven't paid it in person, but it has been paid by another for me. So Paul can say, I am crucified with Christ. He died in my place, and therefore, in a sense, I died there at Calvary, and sin has been answered, and sin has been settled. There is, of course, a further truth. Christ rose from the dead the third day, still as their representative, still as their substitute. And therefore he rose on behalf of his people. And it's referred to here, nevertheless, I live. At Calvary, death was not the end of it all. But 3 days later, he rose, my representative, my substitute, my savior. Now, when he rose, it was a discharge from all that had been levelled against him. It was the evidence that he'd answered every charge. There was nothing more to pay. So he was set free. He had made complete satisfaction for sin, and therefore the prison gate of death was opened and he was free to go. It meant for him there was no more demand upon him. He came to die for sin. He had died for it. He came to settle our debts. He had settled it. He came to bear the judgment due. He had borne it. And in a sense, that involves us, because he was our representative and our substitute. When he was put to death, it was as if we were put to death to answer for our sins. When he rose again, free from punishment and from judgment, we were free and declared free from all further judgment from God. So we were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. In him we were put to death. In him we were delivered from death and given new life. Which brings us to the second word, our second heading, faith. This word occurs towards the end of the verse. I live, says Paul, by the faith of the Son of God, or the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. There it is. He's our representative. He's our substitute. He gave himself for us. What this basically means, this insertion of faith in the latter part of the verse, is this. The salvation of which we speak, the paying for sin, the being free from further condemnation, all this is wonderfully true when it comes into our experience. And that happens the moment we believe. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Professor McGregor says in his commentary, Paul's conversion was the opening of a window to let in the life-giving light of God in Christ. Another commentator, G.G. Findlay, puts it well, I think. He says, faith is the link between the past objective sacrifice and the present subjective apprehension of it, by which its virtue becomes our own. So when do we feel that we've been crucified with Christ and we've paid for our sin? When do we feel that the discharge has been granted and we are free from condemnation? The answer is when we are converted, when we believe. Faith is a saving grace. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And that grace is given when sinners hear the gospel. And the gospel presents the Lord Jesus to us, who was crucified and raised from the dead as a saviour, as the gift of God to sinners. And the sinner's response is to receive him by God's grace and rely upon him alone for salvation. It is when the sinner believes in that way, when he receives the gift as most welcome, and when he relies upon Christ, the only hope we have, that we come into an experience of God's salvation. And so Paul here, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Faith comes in. Objectively, my salvation was accomplished at the cross. Subjectively, it came into my experience the moment I believed and received Christ and trusted in Him alone for my salvation. Which brings me to the third important thing here. Christ the first, faith the second, life the third. And Paul, within the compass of this short verse, speaks of that life. Nevertheless, I live. Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Christians live. At Calvary, objectively, Christ died for them. They died, in a sense. Their sins have been paid for. He rose again the third day and lives again. And in a sense, we share that deliverance. We live again. But by the expression of faith in us, all this becomes a reality. All this becomes an experience. And we know the blessing of Christ dying for us. And we know the blessing of Christ living again. I live, says Paul. Now there's a qualifier here, and it's an important one. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I. That is important. The new life he has through the Lord Jesus Christ is not something which is due to him. It's not something he's secured for himself. Not I. He lays no claim to this life. He wasn't the cause of it. How did he get it then? He got it through coming to Christ, responding to Christ, and finding Christ, and entering a union with Christ. And it is Christ who received and trusted, has now given him new life, and has sustained in him that life. So, yet not I, it's not of my doing, but Christ liveth in me, it's of his doing. And Paul adds, I must make this clear, that the life I live now is not the kind of life I lived in the past. I live, yet not I. It's not the kind of life I lived before conversion, before I became a Christian. Not I then, but Christ liveth in me. It's because he has come into my heart and into my life. And he has effected in me such a change that makes a new life. So it's nothing really to do with me. It's altogether to do with him. Christ liveth in me. Now we are at the very heart and pulse of biblical Christianity here. Christ liveth in me. And I want to spend the rest of our time together just considering that. We've considered Christ, we've considered faith, by which Christ becomes real to us, salvation becomes real to us. And now we consider life, which Paul sums up in these words, Christ liveth in me. And that begs the question at once, what does he mean by that? He cannot mean that Christ corporeally or physically liveth in me. Why can't he mean that? Because the body of Christ ascended into heaven. Mark 16 tells us the body of Christ is now at the right hand of God the Father. Peter tells us in Acts 3 that the body of Christ is there in heavenly glory until the time of restitution of all things, when God makes a new heaven and a new earth. So it can't be Christ in the body that is some way in me. No, it goes back to when the gospel came to us and presented to us a gift of a Saviour. And what did we do? We received him, according to the terms of the gospel, as the free gift of God, and we put our faith in him. We received him into our hearts and lives as Saviour and Lord, and we trusted him to save us and to keep us forever. So, when we received him, how did he come to us? How did he enter? The answer to that is that he entered in a spiritual, not a physical, bodily way. The Spirit of Christ is called in Scripture the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of God, at the reception of faith, comes into our hearts, into our lives, and he lives there. And he brings everything into order as Christ would have it ordered. And he gets rid of those things that Christ would not like in our lives. And he supplies those things that Christ would like in our lives. And all under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in effect, the Spirit of God enters us spiritually, takes the throne of our hearts, and directs our life thereafter. Now this is a spiritual life now. Christ liveth in me, that is by his Spirit. He liveth in me. What sort of life is it? Once Christ is received, once Christ takes control by his Spirit, what kind of life is that? Unlike our former lives, it is a holy life. We are holy since the Lord is holy. So it's a life concerned about doing the will of God and becoming increasingly like God. The life that I now live, Christ liveth in me, and therefore the life is a holy life. It's a humble life. Before I was so proud and so arrogant, I thought I knew everything. I thought I could direct my life in a proper way. I now realize how much I need another to take control and to take management. The life I live now is a life of humbly walking with God. It's a holy life, it's a humble life, and it's a heavenly life. Because I am taken up with things which are above and beyond. I'm thinking much more than I ever did of heaven, what God would want for me, and how I can face Him at the last day there in heaven. To put it another way, Christ liveth in me. If that be true, it means that Christ is the cause of this new life, but does it not mean also that He is the pattern of that new life? So if Christ is living in me by His Spirit, then I would expect such a life to emerge as was witnessed many years ago when Christ walked amongst men. So a life that reproduces the qualities of Christ. A life that is concerned to do the will of God. He was when He was here. And in me, He still does. He wants me to do the will of God in heaven. Not my will, but Thine be done. He was active, doing good. The Bible says He went about doing good. That's the kind of life. He lived and still lives in me. So that I want to serve others as well as my God. I want to do good to men. The life He once lived in the days of His flesh was a life of great tenderness and a life of compassion. If He lives in me, then that should be reproduced again. And so I will be kind to others. And I will be gentle and not easily provoked. And I will pity those who have burdens and do everything I can to relieve them. Christ liveth in me. People should be able to look at me and see a kind of replication of Christ. It's not perfect, of course. It falls far short of the original. But it is like Him, like the early disciples took knowledge of Peter and John, that they had been with Jesus. There was something to be seen in them that they'd first seen in Christ, because He was living in them. And that is why they were called Christians, because they were His disciples living the life He wanted them to live. That's why they were called followers of the Lord Jesus, because in heart and life they were following the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ liveth in me. What was so singular about the life of Christ? Well, could be answered variously, but I think when we study the Gospels, we say that life He lived in the flesh, He lived in communion with His Father. He would go out at night into a solitary place, and there He would spend time with His Father, spending all night in prayer. Often during the day He would cease from normal activity and He would go apart somewhere, as He did before choosing the 12, and He would pray. And even without going apart, as at the tomb of Lazarus, for example, He offered up his prayer to God. He was ever in touch with God. And when Paul writes, Christ liveth in me, we should expect that. We should expect the expression of our life, if Christ is in us, to be one of communion with God and fellowship with God, so that we find time to pray, we find time to read his word, we find time to share life's joys and life's sorrows with God. A life of communion. Christ liveth in me. Was it not true that when Christ lived here amongst us, he knew peace? Oh yes, he knew peace. My peace, he said in John 14, I give to you. He knew peace. If Christ liveth in me, I would expect him to bring his peace into my heart and into my life. The peace of knowing that he's in control, that nothing has reduced us to panic, that no unforeseen evil will suddenly overtake us. Christ, the peace giver, is in our hearts. We would expect joy if Christ liveth in us. He spoke of my joy being fulfilled in you. And so if Christ liveth in us, we would hope for that joy that overcomes earthly sorrow and overcomes earthly grief. The joy of knowing that he's with us, that he brings comfort to us. It's a most blessed life. Christ liveth in me. And it's a life that continued despite adversity, despite opposition, despite the contradiction of sinners. When he lived here, he lived on for God and for the good of the souls of men. And he liveth in me. That means that we won't be overcome. We won't stumble and fail. We won't fail to reach our goal. Christ liveth in me. And he will see to us that despite adversity we continue. Despite affliction we remain. We go on with him in our hearts. What an excellent life it is. All his ways, Proverbs 3:17, are pleasantness. All his paths are peace. That's the way he would take us. Christ liveth in me. One final thing. It's this. The life we have through Christ is a life that issues in eternal life. That was true of him. The life he lived upon earth ended in his being with the Father, in the safety and security of heaven. And therefore he ascended to the Father. Christ liveth in me. That's the way my life is going to end. His life is going to be replicated in mine. And therefore what I experience as a Christian is not transient. It's not temporary. He is indestructible. He lives forevermore. And Christ liveth in me. Therefore, though I am tried, my life is not destroyed. Though I die, my life is not ended. How so? Because Christ liveth in me. He is the immortal one. And therefore, though I suffer as other men do, perhaps more than other men do, yet nothing can cut short that life, because its source is the eternal Son of God. And he will endure in me. He will survive death. He will enter heaven. It's the way he went before in his own life. It's the way he will go in my life. So Christ will bring me at last to be with him, and I shall be with him forever. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So what a statement this is, isn't it? Christ liveth in me. The very nerve of the gospel is. The very root of Christian experience. He liveth. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And therefore, come trouble, come suffering, come death itself, all will be well. He liveth in me. He will overcome death as once he did, this time in me. He will bring me to heaven as once he brought himself. He liveth in me. And the end of the Christian life is glory and God, because that's what happened to him. And Christ liveth in me. Take that with you this morning. And the Lord make it a blessing to you. Christ liveth in me.